The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we might as well start with the most depressing part of my weekend, which was Ohio State taking out my Texas Longhorns. Now, as I said, the Longhorns were lucky to be there because the previous game against Arizona State, we did not play that well, at least towards the end of the game, but we snuck away with the win. This one, actually, I would say this game ended up being a hard-fought battle between two really good, well-balanced teams, both excellent defense, both good on the offensive side of the ball. They know how to make big plays. But it's just usually in these type of matchups, especially because this is a playoff matchup, these are two good teams, it's always the difference between 3 and 5 plays. And unfortunately, the Longhorns were pretty much on the losing end of at least 3 out of 5 of those plays. I'd actually say Ohio State was on the losing end on a few of those plays as well, but it was just too much for the Longhorns to overcome. And what just killed them in the end was at the end of the second half, as a matter of fact. Right before we head into the second half, there's about 35 seconds left on the clock. And Ohio State just, you know, does a little bit of a desperation kind of toss to their running back. And since everybody on the defense is basically running at the quarterback, the running back is able to just get out. He's got a bunch of blockers right in front of him. And he just had smooth sailing to the end zone. And they go into halftime 14-7 rather than tied at 7. And I felt like that moment was what killed the Longhorns. And in the end, that is what killed the Longhorns because they weren't able to catch up. They were playing catch up the entire rest of the game. Then we get down to to about little over 2 minutes left. I think it's like 2:12, something on the clock like that. I know, and it's a last ditch effort. Longhorns are doing their best to try and tie this shit up at 21, and unfortunately, it's 4th and goal. Ewers is about to be sacked. He ends up fumbling the ball, and Ohio State runs it back for a touchdown, ending the game at 28-14. And it just, you know, like I said, that's just how I kind of feel like the Longhorns, to me, they overachieved for the majority of the year, and this is actually where they were supposed to end the season at. So there were a few mistakes, and it's just they were on the bad end of those mistakes, and that's just how it goes. And Ohio State is moving on to the championship. And so the national championship is taking place next Monday. So we will talk about it on next Monday's show. Notre Dame versus Ohio State. That's going to be an interesting matchup. But like I said, we'll get to that next Monday. So let's move on to the wild card weekend. And man, the majority of these games were very one-sided. But the Sunday night football matchup ended up being the best matchup of the day, of the entire weekend, at least so far. We still have one more game to go tonight. But overall, these were very, very one-sided affairs. So let's begin with the Los Angeles Chargers at the Houston Texans. I pretty much counted the Texans completely out of this one. I thought the Chargers were going to come right in. Thought it was going to be a close matchup because the Texans have a great defense. But boy, howdy, this defense showed the fuck out on wild card weekend. They were like a hail to the now. Y'all are counting us out? Well, guess what, bitches? Smack you in the mouth defense is back. And the Houston Texans just obliterated this Chargers offense. They couldn't get shit going on the ground. It was turnover central. Herbert was either on his back or throwing fucking interceptions all day. This Texans defense ended up with 4 sacks and 4 interceptions on the day, and it was fantastic. Derek Stingley Jr., their cornerback, he had a couple of interceptions. One ran back for a touchdown, and just absolute domination by the Texans, 32-12. And like I said, smack you in the mouth defense. They just were all over it. Looked so good, but also offensively, they looked good. CJ Stroud, he is back. At least he was in this game. Nico Collins, he was able to find this dude. Joe Mixon, he had himself a game. So this Houston Texans defense, this Houston Texans team, I'm sorry, just looked fantastic, at least in this matchup. We'll see what they're able to do in the divisional round. But this was not only a huge win, but a convincing win. And man, this Texans defense, you got some problems if you're going up against this defense. You are going to have a hell of a day against this Houston Texans defense. That is for damn sure. Ask Justin Herbert, who had four interceptions on the day. I mean, and one of them, of course, was one of, you know, off the receiver's hands. But some of those passes that Herbert was making, even some of the ones that didn't end up being interceptions, not very accurate, not very on. Just not a good game for the Los Angeles Chargers at all, but a fantastic game from the Houston Texans. Then we had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens, and wow, this first half of this game, it was like the Pittsburgh Steelers did not realize they were in a playoff game. Hell, it didn't look like they were even in a game, let alone a playoff game. They were just getting smashed. I mean, there was one drive that the Baltimore Ravens literally ran it on every single play until they scored a touchdown. Every run pass option, anytime Lamar Jackson took the ball and ran, they had no idea Lamar Jackson had the motherfucking ball. They were almost always tackling the running back or the receiver who they thought had the ball, and then there goes Lamar Jackson 10 yards up the fucking field. I mean, this Baltimore Ravens team just made this Pittsburgh Steelers team look awful. I mean, I knew the Steelers offense was not going to do a goddamn thing, but the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, this defense that has led and carried this team, not only this year, but just ever since TJ Watt was drafted by this team, he has carried this defense, and even he disappeared in this matchup. It was one of the worst defensive showings I've ever seen in my life. And this Steelers defense, this is a divisional matchup, y'all. This is the third time these teams have faced each other. Usually it's a battle between these two teams. It's like a 10-9 game. That's usually how these games end up. And it was just straight up domination by the Ravens in every way, shape, and form. Lamar Jackson, 16 for 21, 175 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, and 81 rush yards. Derrick Henry, 186 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. And man, he had one run where he just smashed this stupid Steeler out the way. He took his hand, palmed him right in the face and said, "Get out the way, bitch. Derrick Henry is here." And it was just straight up dominant. The defense was just taking it to the Steelers offense. They just couldn't get anything going. Baltimore got the win 28-14. And Baltimore, they are looking ready for this championship. I told you, this team was going to go on a tear, and they started out this week with the Pittsburgh Steelers and made the Steelers look like a secondhand bitch team who did not deserve to be in the playoffs. Then the third matchup we had was between the Denver Broncos at the Buffalo Bills, and this was another straight-up dominating game. It actually looked like the Broncos were going to make this a game. Broncos come right out on the first drive, score 7 points, and it's like, damn, cool. It looks like we're going to get a legit game here. Nah, Buffalo said, nope, y'all. That's the only 7 points you're getting. And that was the only 7 points that the Denver Broncos ended up getting. Final score ended up being Buffalo 31-7. Not close in any way, shape, or form. Josh Allen practically had a perfect game, went 20 for 26, 272 yards and 2 touchdowns. Cook on the ground added in another 120 yards and a touchdown, and Buffalo just demolished Denver and showed Denver that they are just not ready. They made it to the dance and had a pretty decent regular season, but they were not ready for what the Buffalo Bills handed them in that matchup. All right, and then so our second matchup that we had on Sunday was between the Green Bay Packers at the Philadelphia Eagles, and this was a very, very odd game. Now, it was very one-sided. It felt like at the, at halftime that the Eagles should have been up by a lot more, and they just were barely beating the Packers. It was just a very, very odd game from the Philadelphia Eagles offensively. They just looked completely ineffective for the first half. But then, just lucky for them, the Green Bay Packers had that much worse of a game. I mean, Jordan Love was just throwing interceptions like no other. It was not a good game from him at all. They had one good run on the ground. But other than that, for the most part, this Green Bay Packers offense was exceptionally ineffective. Like I said, as was the Eagles, but they were able to just get enough done offensively and defensively to get this win. But I tell you what, if this Eagles team was facing a much better team, then they probably would have lost this one, or at least it would have been a much closer. But it was a very stale game from the Eagles, even though they got the win 22-10. Jalen Hurts ended up going 13-for-21 with 131 yards and two touchdowns. Saquon also added in 119 yards on the ground. But even he, in the first half, it was just not a good game from the Eagles, and we're gonna need to see a lot more from them if that's what they're going to do. You know, I mean, if they want to move on to the Super Bowl, that's not the way they're going to do it. And then the Sunday Night Football matchup was between the Washington Commanders at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they saved the best for last yesterday, because this was so far the best game of the playoffs, and it was back and forth between Baker and Jaden Daniels. These two guys were getting it done. They were driving their teams down the field. Of course, other guys were making plays, but it was really just an all-out quarterback duel, and unfortunately, this game turned out just like the Longhorns game turned out, where if you just fuck up on those couple of plays, it's going to doom you. And unfortunately for the Bucs, they have the lead, and they're driving. They've got the ball back, and they just had this amazing defensive stand. I mean, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is something else. And unfortunately, Baker Mayfield makes the one mistake of the game, basically, where he fumbles the ball, and Washington gets it right back. They end up tying everything up. Then on the following drive, Tampa's just unable to really get anything going, and then They just had all these follies and weird snaps and weird things all the way towards the end. And then Washington was able to just drive it down the field on their last drive and even hit the game-winning field goal, which looked like it didn't want to go in at first, but it most certainly did. Doinked right off the pole, and Washington walks away with the win 23-20. The rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels, 24-for-35, 268 yards and two touchdowns. So great game from the rookie. And just a good overall game from both teams. I mean, man, some of those defensive stands that the Buccaneers had, I mean, I felt bad for Baker, because after that defensive stand that the Bucs had and then he fumbles the ball, he was so pissed off at himself. You could just see that this is going to eat away at him for quite some time, because that is really the play that cost him. I mean, his defense just put everything they had into it, held them at a goal line stand four downs, and they were able to just get a turnover on downs. And unfortunately, just that one fumble set the Commanders up right in beautiful field position. They were able to just tie things up, and that's just how it went. That's just football. That's playoff football, that's for sure. But man, that Buccaneers defense, whew, they are something else. And even though Baker, you know, that was his one bad play. I mean, he had two runs. One run was huge, but two runs where he was just taking on defenders. But this one, he stood Bobby fucking Wagner up. Bobby Wagner is one of the best linebackers that this league has seen. He's a beast motherfucker. And Baker Mayfield takes this dude head on and smashes right into him and gets a first down on a huge play. So even though Baker had the one bad play, Baker still had a good game. And I gotta say, I just loved what I saw from Baker Mayfield. So I know he's beating himself up today, because I get it. I get exactly what his problem is. I mean, because that is basically the glaring play that really fucked everything up for Tampa on this one. But still, the dude had a phenomenal season and had a phenomenal game. And this was just that game. Two good teams going up against each other in a playoff battle. And unfortunately, just those couple of plays where you fuck up on cost you. So we have a Monday Night Football matchup between the Minnesota Vikings at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Rams are a one-point favorite. This is a close one. To me, I think the Vikings are the better team. I know a lot of people are sleeping on the Vikings. I kind of feel like that ass-beating they took from the Lions kind of everybody was like, eh, we're not really believing in them anymore. And to me, I'm just like, that's kind of weak because throughout the regular season, there were a couple losses that the Vikings had and they bounced back big and just went on big runs. And so I kind of feel like that's what the Vikings are going to do here. They're still the same good-ass team. I know everybody's kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop with them, as am I. But, I mean, they're still a good team, and I think they're a much better team than the Rams. The Rams haven't played any consistent football at all this season. As a matter of fact, they backed their way into the playoffs because they were in a shitty division. Their defense is good, but they've got a lot of holes and a lot of questions and a lot of young guys. Offensive line is terrible, so I kind of feel like this is going to be a bad game for Stafford because he's going to be on the ground a lot or running for his life a lot because this Vikings defense is no joke. So I think it's actually going to be a long night for Matthew Stafford is what I'm getting at. And I think the Vikings are just going to have a pretty solid game. I think it's going to be close at first in the first half. But once we hit the second half, I think the Vikings are just going to make a few bigger plays and start to pull away as the game wears on. And I have the Vikings winning this one 27-17. Then we had some coaching moves over the weekend, or actually as of today. Mike Vrabel was officially hired as the New England Patriots head coach. No surprise there. And then in other kind of, not really shocking news, it's just to me personally as a fan, the timing's kind of dumb, but what the fuck do I know? But it's announced today that the Cowboys are officially moving on from Mike McCarthy as their coach. I mean, like I said, I was going to be fine either way. I was leaning more towards I'd prefer we keep McCarthy just because I could tell the team or the players really liked him. But at the same time, we don't really know. I mean, hell, maybe Mike McCarthy didn't want to be there. We don't know what happened here. But all I do know is the Cowboys are now going to be searching for a new coach. So we'll see how that goes. But just for me, the timing of it is just odd because I'm like, why did we just waste this whole week when we could have been interviewing people and getting things going? But, you know, I don't make those decisions, so I don't fucking know. All I know is just the timing of it is weird to me. And, hey, we'll see what happens here with the Cowboys. Hopefully they're able to get somebody decent at that, the coaching position, but who can actually win us some playoff games. But we'll see what happens there. And as far as Mike McCarthy goes, I'm sure a dude's going to get a job. I mean, he's one of the all-time winningest coaches in the league. That's for sure. He's the Super Bowl winning coach. And he's mostly had success everywhere he's gone. So I expect this guy to get a job easily. The Bears already wanted to interview him. And so it looks like they're probably going to set up another interview. He's also connected to the Saints. So we'll see what happens there. But one thing is for sure, the Cowboys are moving on from Mike McCarthy. So let's move on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. And we have us a new number one. And we also have us a couple new teams at the bottom to talk about who are just now starting to get on some winning streaks. So let's begin with number one is back. The Cleveland Cavaliers are back at the top spot. 33-5 on the regular season, 9-1 in their last 10 games. But the reason why I put the Cavaliers back at one is because they ended Oklahoma City's winning streak this week. They were able to beat Oklahoma City. It was actually a crazy game. It was a good game between two really good-ass teams. But since they beat Oklahoma City, got to put them back up at number one. They also took out the Toronto Raptors this week as well. But Cleveland, man, they just look so damn good right now. And, you know, they look more and more for real. You know, if a team gets hot in the first half of the season, there's just a lot of questions because it's just the first half. But if they're able to maintain this, we're about a month away from the All-Star break. So we'll see where we're at with the Cavaliers at that point. But they really are just dominating offensively, defensively, in the paint. They've got a nice little dynamic trio here, and they're just playing excellent basketball. And I'm starting to become more and more of a believer in them as the season wears on. Then at number two in my top 10 NBA power rankings, not taking too big of a tumble this week, Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 32-6. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, but now they're getting back on a winning streak as they beat the New York Knicks and the Washington Wizards this week. But Oklahoma City, they're getting healthier, they're getting better, and they just are just suffocating everybody they play. And SGA is just having yet another MVP year, and he's just making the case loud as he can to win that MVP this year, at least so far. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings remains the Boston Celtics, overall record of 28-11. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Denver Nuggets, lost to the Sacramento Kings, and beat the New Orleans Pelicans. They're kind of in a weird phase right now. They're still winning, but they're also losing too. And some of their wins, not very convincing. Some of their losses, you're like, what the fuck's going on here? So I just think the Boston Celtics are kind of in that weird limbo throughout the season, but still one of the top teams, still the defending champions. And until they start to fall off, still got to keep believing in them. It's just right now, it kind of feels like they're in a weird limbo, but I'm sure they're going to find their way out of it here pretty soon. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 26-14. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Toronto Raptors, lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and demolished the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday. Brunson is just having a phenomenal year. This guy is just really playing phenomenal basketball. He got injured the other night, and then he came back and dropped 40 fucking points, and he's having a great year, and this New York Knicks team is just getting better and stronger, and I really like what I'm seeing from them. And don't be surprised if you see this New York Knicks team at the number one spot in my power rankings at some point as we head towards the second half, because defensively, I really like what I see from this team. I actually think they are the best defensive team in the league, and if that's the case, they're really good offensively, and if they could be the best defensive team, that's usually going to put you up at the top spot. But right now, they are soaring. I was real close to putting them above Boston. It's just I respect Boston too much. They haven't fallen off really yet for me to put the Knicks above them, but I was questioning it as I was kind of looking at over all the stats and everything. Then at number five, I have on the top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 23-15. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Boston Celtics but beat the Los Angeles Clippers, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Dallas Mavericks. And this team is getting going. They are finally starting to look like the good old Denver Nuggets that we've known for these past couple of years. And not only is Nikola Jokic the triple-double king, but now Russell Westbrook's starting to get in on the game. They've already had a couple of games where they both have had triple-doubles in the exact same game. And this team's getting healthier. They're getting better. And you really got to watch out for this team in the Western Conference because they are starting to get going. And if they get going, they are a difficult team to stop, especially in the paint. And if you got two guys scoring triple-doubles a game, that just goes to show you how much depth this team still has. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 25-12. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took out the Washington Wizards and the Memphis Grizzlies. For me, the Houston Rockets, they're a good team. I just still don't know about them. But they, you know, you watch them play and, you know, they get a ton of turnovers. They know how to handle the ball. They know how to dominate the time of possession. They just are just a really good team. They're great in the paint. They're number one with rebounding. So they're just a good scrappy ass team. It's just I can't believe in them yet. Number one, they don't have like that standout star like a LeBron or a Giannis or an Anthony Davis or a Jokic, or they don't have anybody of that caliber on their team. And so it's just really difficult to actually believe in a team like this who does not have a star player. But I will say, they still are top in their division. They've pretty much owned this division for the majority of the season. And this is a division with the Dallas Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies in it. So it's not like they're playing chumps. It's not like they're up against chumps. But this Houston Rockets team, they're playing really well. They play really scrappy basketball. Like I said, I just don't know if I believe in them yet. I'm just going to have to keep seeing what they've got going on here, which is why it's so hard for me to even put them in this middle area. But they play so good, especially with the rebounds. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 25-14. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Dallas Mavericks, lost to the Houston Rockets, and beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. Ja Morant, you know, he's been battling through this this shoulder injury, so that's been a problem for them. But overall, this is a good team. They're also excellent in the paint. And they score a lot of points as well. And when Ja is on, when Jaren Jackson is on, these two guys are really difficult to stop. And this Memphis Grizzlies team has been one of the best, most consistent teams in the Western Conference so far. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Orlando Magic. Overall record of 23-18. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the New York Knicks. They lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves, lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, and then beat the Philadelphia 76ers. They did get Paolo Banchero back this week, so that's huge. They've been able to tread water without him. They've been able to keep getting wins. They still are number one in their division as well. The Miami Heat are starting to heat up, though, so we'll see if this lasts. But Banchero, he came back and dropped like 30-plus points in his first game back. Unfortunately, it was in a loss. I believe it was the game against the Timberwolves. But still, he came back, had a big game, and that's exactly what they needed from him because it's crazy, too. He missed a couple of months of basketball and still leads this team in points per game. So that's how much he matters to this team. So we'll see. You know, they've been able to keep it going, stay playing steady this whole way through with his injury and with the Wagner injuries. So we'll see what happens with this Magic team. But they got Banchero back, and so maybe they're going to keep it moving. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team we haven't discussed yet this season, and that is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 20-18. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Clippers, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Orlando Magic, and lost to the Memphis Grizzlies. Anthony Edwards having a phenomenal year, averaging 25.4 games per game, 25.4 points per game. But one thing he's also averaging, it seems, once per game as well, is a fine, because he's either criticizing the refs, he's flipping off the crowd or flipping off the refs, or just generally saying, you know, just being critical, which honestly I don't have an issue with, but he's been getting fined quite a bit this season. It kind of feels like almost every game he's getting fined, so that's also a problem for him, but I mean, overall, Timberwolves are starting to get going. I did have an issue with them trading away Karl Anthony Towns, and it's starting to show because offensively, they aren't what they used to be. And they have to get all of their offense from Anthony Edwards. And while he's fully capable of doing that, nobody else is really stepping it up in his absence. So it kind of feels like if Anthony Edwards has a bad game, ain't nobody else going to come up and step up. And so I feel like that's going to be issues for them throughout the season. But so far, you know, they're getting it going. They look like a pretty decent team. But we'll see if they're able to actually get back to their winning ways that they've had over the last couple of seasons. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that we have not discussed yet this season, and that is the Indiana Pacers. Overall record of 22-18. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Brooklyn Nets, the Chicago Bulls, the Golden State Warriors, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes, they ended the Cleveland Cavaliers winning streak, so neither the Cavaliers or the Oklahoma City Thunder are keeping it moving. As a matter of fact, those two are on two-game winning streaks now. But I guess not anymore for Cleveland since that was last night. But they were able to end Cleveland's winning streak, which was good. They played great defense against them. Siakam and Halliburton are finally starting to really get it going as they have over the last couple of seasons. To me, I actually feel like this is typical Indiana Pacers. They start the season off slow, and then all of a sudden, here they come storming at you through the All-Star break. And then once we're out of the All-Star break, all of a sudden, this is one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and they're making it real difficult for the rest of the teams around them. So I'm not shocked that this is the Indiana Pacers starting to get hot, starting to get going on a winning streak. They've actually been one of the hottest teams the last month of basketball. So we'll see if they're able to keep it going. They are just one of those teams. Like I said, they start off slow, and then all of a sudden, here they are. We'll see if they're able to keep it going. I like what I see from them so far, but, Indiana Pacers playing pretty decent basketball, especially when you take out the teams they've taken out the last couple of games, especially the Cleveland Cavaliers, the best team in the NBA. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you on Friday.